One of the most life-changing moments I had Shana Aleph was it was mamish the middle of the winter. It had rained for about 3 weeks straight. The entire island valley over flooded and flooded a lot of the crops, and as a result, they built the dam. And there was a day where around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the power went out. And as most of you guys know, in the winter, around 4 o'clock, 4:30, it's already dark outside. And I remember very, very vividly that Almog and myself and about 5 or 6 other guys went to and took plastic knives and we cut the plastic bottles in the recycling and put tea lights and gave every guy in the base medrash a half-cut plastic bottle with a tea light so guys could continue learning. And at the time, my chavrus, I remember we were learning Bava Batra with Menachem Selesky, and he spilled a little bit of, he was tilting the candle, right, just what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, as the Gemara tells us. And he was note the Nair, and wax spilled all over his Gemara, and I was like, let it dry and it'll peel right off. And he's like, are you kidding me? This is the most gevaldik moment of my life. That wax stain will stay there on Neiv Esther. And there's a certain, I remember to this moment, and Hendler gave sicha with tea lights all around the shtender. And for those that know Rav Hendler, it was like an extra aura on top of the normal aura. And it was really, for me, it was a really incredible building experience where that was a moment where even when the lights are out, you know, you push and it's a little bit hard. You're used to learning with real light bulbs and air conditioning, and you know, there's nothing going on and everyone has a little tea light, and you know, the base matters was packed, and it was really, for me, one of the most life-changing moments of my Shana Aleph, and that kind of, I got a little bit of koach from that today that brought me back in. That was not at all what I planned to talk about tonight. Tonight's sicha has changed probably about 12 different times in the past week, as I was supposed to speak last week, and then it was pushed to this week. Before Purim, after Purim, everything's changed, and this morning I decided, kind of a last-minute thing, to put together a bunch of thoughts I've had over the past week or so, to go through about, you know, a dozen smaller points or so, lessons that I've learned from coronavirus. I think I've had a lot of conversations with many different guys in yeshiva and people from outside of yeshiva about different things that I've learned and I've seen from coronavirus. And I think there's like a lot of smaller ideas. Didn't want to go with something too heavy with the whatever's going on outside going on. And talk about a bunch of smaller ideas that I've gotten. And this sicha should Bezrat Hashem be for Refua Shalema B'mehira B'yameinu, for Rav Tretzky's father, Shaul Aaron Ben Rachel. The Gemara in Sota and Tavberam and Aleph, it's really the first Gemara in Sota. Rebbe asks a question. For anyone that's learned Rashi, you've seen this before on Chumash. Why is it that Parshas Nazir is juxtaposed, it's Samach to Sota? Nazir and Sota are Samach one to another. It's a very odd comparison. And the Gemara, and this is really the introduction to Masechet Sota, answers, right? Shekul haroas sota bekilkulea yazir alatzmo me'ayayin. Anyone who could be standing in the base of Mikdash as they see the sota process going on, as they see them unbraiding her hair and maybe even exploding, or however whatever art school translation you prefer, if you see that and you can't take a step back and say, okay, no more wine for me. You see something going on in the world that's life-changing, that is shifting the entire stratosphere of the world as we know it, and something inside of you doesn't change, then there's something messed up with you, the Gemara says. Right? There's something problematic with you if you see something going on in the world and it doesn't change you. And I was thinking a lot about this over the past few days, with the entire world is right now going through something that's never happened in the past 400 or 500 years. That a virus came out of nowhere and has completely shifted the, you know, economic state of the world, the healthcare of the world. Literally, the entire world is upside down, as opposed to what it was a month ago, and even more so what was 2 months ago. And we have to ask ourselves the question, what is this, you know, insane shift in the world coming to teach me, and what can I learn from it? What messages may HaKadosh Baruch Hu be sending us through the world, around us, and how can we learn from it moving forward? Hundreds of thousands of people are in quarantine, with more than 5,000 people who have been nifter over the past few months, and right, I don't know, for me myself, I don't feel it so much. I'm right now sitting in the base medrash, I'm going home, right now minyanim are going on as normal, so maybe 100 people, not 100 people, all different, you know, every hour there's different updates, and there's definitely a lot of turmoil and discussion and unknown and panic going on, that's for sure. But practically speaking, we're not all alone in our homes, locked up, and there's a lot of, you know, mixed emotions with that come along with it, and I wanted to talk tonight about a few of the different ideas that I've gotten from it. It's in no particular order, just because I was kind of just throwing down different ideas, but we'll roll with them each, smaller points. The first is I think, really simple. Every single person is Shava B'nai Hashem. We're all equal. It does not matter what your social standing is, how much money you have, what connections and protexia you have with different people. At the end of the day, the virus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care. Whether or not, right, there's no vaccines on the market. Whether or not you've got $500 million in your bank account, or you are starving on the street, whether you're affected by this incredibly contagious virus or not, you're no different than Bill Gates. Doesn't matter who you are, we're all equal. And this is true both how HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us, right? Shimon's no different than Reuven. We're all the same in the eyes of Hashem. And this is also true with how we relate to each other. You have to learn Echa Kamocha, right? You have to look at someone else. Even though maybe Nebuch, he doesn't have, you know, clothing to change into, and he smells like he hasn't showered in 3 weeks, or he doesn't have the food you have, or he doesn't have the accessibility to running water like you do. But at the end of the day, he's just as equal to you. Regardless of how you might think externally he is, at the end of the day, he has the same neshama, he has the same nefesh, he has the same pintle yid you do, and we're all the same, both in the eyes of Hashem and in the eyes of one another. And that's something for me, is really like, you know, who gets hit, who doesn't get hit with the virus, who's in quarantine, who's not in quarantine, we're all the same in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're all the same in the eyes of each other, and we should really, you know, take that to the deepest level. The next is something that Rav Yaakovson said, for those that, a few of you were there, I believe, at when we were by Mishloach Mano Tish at Rav Yaakovson's house. He mentioned, we were talking a little bit about coronavirus and the effect it's had on the Jewish community in America in particular, and he said that the biggest lesson he's taken from coronavirus is that we often think that the effect we have on other people is through a conversation we have, through the way we touch someone's life. But practically speaking, he said what he got out of coronavirus was, even if you're in the same room as somebody else, I might not speak to you, I might not touch you, but the fact that you're sitting in over there, you're sitting over there, you're walking in the same aisle in the supermarket, that has a drastic effect in someone else's life. They were healthy a minute ago, they walked past you in the supermarket, now they have a deadly virus. Potentially deadly virus, whatever. Okay? And as a result, every single person in this world, you have an effect on. Oy l'rasha, oy l'shchino, tov l'tzadik, v'tov l'shchino. Right? How you affect other people, even when you have no knowledgeable contact with them, you just crossed in passing, that is game-changing. And Rav Yaakovson pointed out that this is something he never really thought of before. That just by being in the same room as someone, by portraying a smile, by just, you know, going around in a positive atmosphere that affects other people who cross paths with you, even though you never even noticed it. You might not have known that they existed. But just like you could pass on germs, you could pass on good vibes, bad vibes, and change someone else's entire life, day, and entire atmosphere. Following that, there's been a lot of debate. I think one of the unique things in a, you know, social globalized discussion about how coronavirus has shifted is there's been a lot of discussion over the past 5 to 10 or so years that the moral compass of the world has shifted completely. And people have shifted, right, you know, it's the I generation with the iTunes and the iPhone and the iMac and all the different discussions, whatever terminology you want to use, we with two I's, etc. All those discussions of the world shifting to a me. It's all about me, me, me. But I've noticed very interestingly that since the start of coronavirus that moral and ethical discussions have come back to the forefront of world discussion. In all of the media, newspapers, news shows, etc., ethical moral dilemmas are coming back. Can we take someone off the cruise ship if it means that they are going to then likely come back to their host country and maybe they're a carrier and going to get more people sick? But right now he's healthy. How can I leave him there? These are ethical moral debates that have been debated for hundreds of years that for the past little bit have really fallen wayside. And I think that's really come back into the stratosphere and into the modern awareness of the world, is bringing back in a little bit some of this ethical moral system that You know, as Jews, we're very happy and proud to carry the torch of, but realistically speaking, the world as a whole, the modern Western world, has really shifted away from. And that's something that I think has been really, I think, a little bit inspiring. That's been a little hisorus for the entire Olam to really come back and pick back up a form of this moral ethical compass that I think has been a little bit lost. And as a result, one of the bigger debates that I've seen, a lot of people have been discussing within the world of coronavirus that, practically speaking, if you're under the age of 80, maybe 60, maybe 70, depending on what study, all of which are basically brand new and mainly coming out of China, so scientifically take it or leave it, but practically speaking, anyone under the age of 60, the statistics of you having any real fatal effects of it, unless you have pre-existing, you know, immune system issues or respiratory problems, are very, very low. And there's been a lot of pushback saying, why should I, as a, you know, 25-year-old healthy person, why should I have to take all these drastic shifts in my life when there's no sakanas nefashos for me? The chances of me dying from it, or you guys who are 17 to 20, how, you know, chances of you dying from coronavirus are more or less, are significantly less than 1%, unless you have pre-existing conditions. And there's been a lot of pushback to that discussion, is what I was mentioning before, where a lot of people in the public stratosphere, if you know, whatever social media forum you follow, have pushed back and said, how can guys be so selfish as to come and say, it doesn't matter to me, I'm healthy, I'll be fine, I will survive. But realistically speaking, your next door neighbor is not going to be okay. Right? You might be totally, totally fine as you are, but you walk into the Beis Medrash and there's a Rebbeim who are significantly over 60 and who are over 70. You might walk into the Makolet or into Rami Levi and there's someone's grandmother who's 85 years old. And for them, it's mamish sakanas nefashos. And for me, I think it's an interesting debate on a sociological level, how people look at these things. But I think there's been a rebirth of the moral dilemma and the moral compasses of the world that this has really brought out. Of people saying, do I look at myself? How do I look at the bigger picture? And there's an incredibly beautiful idea of this that we have to recognize. This is a little bit of what Rabbi Yaakovson was saying, is that we have to recognize that everything we do and who we are and what we carry affects other people, even if we might not even be aware of it. You might never know about the other person walking by. When you walk into the Beis Medrash, you don't know if there's any Rebbeim who are over 60 currently here or not. I don't know, when you came up for Night Seder, did you know that there was going to be someone? Did you know that Rav Gantz, Rav Yamer, Rav Gidon, Rav Libor, any of those guys that were around? I have no idea. But the fact that they could be and that could potentially be dangerous for them is something you have to keep in mind. And so if you have to go into quarantine and you can say, well, there's no Sakana for me. But for somebody else, because you crossed their path, that could be deadly. That's a game changer. That really is a game changer. And that thought process of how are my actions going to affect other people, even though for me it might not be so effect, you know, it might not have the same effect, is something that we need to keep in mind, not just with coronavirus, but with really everything else. Another interesting thing, I think, is I've spoken about this, I think Vadi spoke about this a few weeks ago, maybe, probably more, is that it's very, very, very often in life, there are things that happen that we have no idea what the hashlachot are, what the ramifications of our actions are. There are so many things that we do that very, very rare is it that someone calls you up and says, hey, by the way, that thing you did for me was a game changer. Because of X or Y or Z, that changed my entire life. Right? It's very, very often that we do things. We have a quick conversation with someone in passing. And I had no idea that it had the same effect. This past week, an alumni who was a year younger than me in Shalvim texted me out of nowhere, hey, can we talk? We spoke for an hour on the phone, and he basically said, conversation we had 7 years ago when he was Shana Aleph, that was very impactful for him. For me, that was a big chiddush. I had no idea. And there are certain things that happen all the time that could be in passing, and we have no idea how they affect other people. And that's one of the things that I think has really come out of the coronavirus that has shown up, Givaldic, that has really come out strong, is that there are plenty of times and places and things where someone could, lo aleinu, test positive and seemingly be totally, totally fine. You guys can turn the light off, it's fine. That's really, really incredibly powerful is that you could be asymptomatic for a week and a half and then all of a sudden develop a fever and there's pikuach nefesh involved. You don't necessarily see the effects and the ramifications and the changes that go on in the world around us because sometimes Yad Hashem hides it. That's the entire messer of the Megillah that we just read, right? Hester Panim. There's things that happen in life that we have no idea about. We never know and we might never actually find out. But sometimes, the way the process of life carries things over, things shift, and Yad Hashem shows us the MS. All of a sudden, V'talu Aman, and all of a sudden Mordechai is back on top. Things shift. Things happen, and we sometimes aren't even aware of it. And that's one of those things that I think has come out. You know, people are in quarantine, and then all of a sudden, 13 days later, they think they're coming out the next day, and all of a sudden they're coughing, and they're short of breath, and they're fever, and it's really, lo alinu, it's really not a poshut matzav. And there's sometimes in life that we only realize later on what actually does happen and doesn't happen, and I think that's something that we can all learn from, is sometimes things seem to be really, you know, insignificant. The first week you're in quarantine, and nothing's happening, and you're like, why am I wasting my time? I just missed, you know, a dozen minyanim, tefillah b'tzibur. I missed hearing Torah reading. I might have missed hearing Zachor, which according to, you know, the Rosh and other Rishonim is Dioraita. But I missed it because that's, you know, because there's a chashash, there's a percentage that maybe there's a suffix sakana for me or for someone else. And in the long run, we realize, hey, you know what? Something really did happen here. And so, not always are we zocha to see the Yad Hashem and to see how things play out. But once in a while, we are, for better or for worse. And we have to recognize that even though the effects might not be so clear as day at the beginning, they really affect us in the long run. The other thing, this is kind of shifting gears a drop to the Olam of Tefillah. When it comes to coronavirus, I can speak at least for myself, there is nothing I can do to affect coronavirus in the international world. I am not, you know, a chemist or a biologist. I don't understand how, you know, different vaccines and quarantine, you know, how these things work. And there's very little I can do to shift the international scene of coronavirus and how it's affecting Klal Yisrael and the entire world kula. And it's moments like this that lead to a little bit of a bittle. How you realize sometimes how nothing you are, how little you are, how I mamish can do nothing. There's nothing for me to do. I'm sitting here as a little piece in a huge puzzle, and I'm basically, there's nothing I can do. My hands are tied behind my back. And it's moments like these that make me realize, you know what? I can daven. I can open up my siddur, I can open up my tehillim, I can open up a sefer, and I can say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's in your hands. Katonti. There's nothing I can do. I am a tiny little nothing who knows nothing. Okay, maybe I could sign up to be one of the testers for the vaccine. Okay, maybe. But that's just I'm using my body as a guinea pig. There's nothing I can actively do, for myself at least. Maybe, you know, one of you guys, it's a little different, and you happen to be, you know, a top chemist. I don't know. But realistically speaking, there's a moment where I have to step back and with a sense of anava, with a sense of brutal honesty, and say, right now, the only thing I could do for the greater good of Klal Yisrael and the entire world is to daven. And that's something that, you know, is really, really important. Rav Turetsky quotes this a lot. And he went, you know, I spoke to him about it a little bit this morning, and he said he first heard it b'shem Rav Shlomo Zalman. He said b'shem Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Turetsky really, I've heard him quote this at least a dozen times, is that we need to be in touch with what's going on in the world and current events to know what to daven for. It's not called Bittul Torah to spend a few minutes and read the news and see what's going on in the world. Because if you don't know what's going on, how do you know what to daven for? If you have no idea that there's something in the world going on called coronavirus, there's a real problem with your Avodas Hashem. If you're so minutak, you're so removed from the entire world that you're not familiar with something that's literally affecting hundreds of thousands, by the end of the weekend, there will be over 1 million people in quarantine. If you're not aware of what's going on in the world, in order to say a parak of Tehillim, in order to daven, in order to include in your refa'inu during your tfilos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help the people who are sick, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give the atein choni and ladam da'at, you should give the doctors, the scientists, the ability to come up with a vaccine, because thousands of people are in sakanas nefashos. If that doesn't cross your mind, there's a certain psul. There's something missing. We have to take a step back and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the ability to daven. He might not have given me the ability to be a scientist. I don't know chemistry. And I have to recognize, okay, but I do have the ability to daven. I do know what a Sefer Tehillim is. I do know what it means to learn a few Daf Gemara. And I could say before my Lima that the Lima should be a schus for those that are not feeling so well. And one of the things that comes out of this is not only that Be'ezrat Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Shomea Tefillah and should listen to our Tefillot and recognize what's going on, and that we ourselves become more sensitive people. We become more caring people. We become connected to the world as a whole because we care. It's not because someone says, oh, you should, you know, someone claps on the bima, we're going to say a Perek HaTehillim, and everyone's like, why are we saying Tehillim? No one announced why, and then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, I heard from so-and-so that this is the reason why. Right? This is what Rav Shmuel Eliyahu, the chief rabbi of Tzfat, the son of Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, Zechorna Livracha, Zechor Tzadik Livracha, he organized at the very, very beginning of coronavirus, before it really even spread so much, when it was really almost only in China still. He organized a mass atzeres tefillah, a mass davening at the Kotel, where tens of thousands of people showed up. And it was live streamed in over 1,000 different places in China to non-Jews. And he said, we need a daven. This is something that's affecting the entire world. There's a sense of care. There's a sense of like understanding as to what's going on around us. And we have to say, you know what? It might not be in my control to change, but there is something that I can do to affect it, and I'm going to do my part. I have to care about the world around us. I need a daven in order to make that, you know, change happen. A discussion I was having last night a little bit with myself is I asked myself in an honest manner, if I right now had to go into quarantine for 2 weeks, what would I do? What would I bring with me? Food and water aside. What would I bring with me? Let's say I could bring a backpack. What safer do I bring with me? Do you bring your laptop? Do you not bring your laptop? Do you bring your Gemara? Do you bring, you know, what are your goals? What priorities do you set for 2 weeks? If you are alone, for 2 weeks alone, no tefillah b'tzibur, you're not allowed to go to the supermarket. Let's say some guy's dropping off meals outside your door every day for you. You have 2 weeks alone, 24 hours a day. What does your day look like? What are you doing? What would I do? And I had a really long debate. You know, in 2 weeks with no interruptions, you can easily go through a significant amount of Bikias and Mishnayos and Tanakh and Gemara. You could learn Masechet Megillah, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos in 2 weeks with no interruptions pretty well. How, you know, what are the goals that we set for ourselves? Do I say, you know, I'm going to learn Hilchos Yichud really, really well? Am I going to say, let's do some Bikias, let's do that, you know? What do you do? And it's a question that, you know, we have to have with ourselves. Everyone's a little different. What would they do? And I personally don't even have an answer right now. But it's been a thought I've been toying with a little bit over the past 2 days. What would I do? What are my priorities in life? Maybe I wouldn't, you know, maybe my priority is just go through Harry Potter, you know, 3-4 times, all the books. It's like, you know, I don't know. Everyone has to find what talks to them. And if they had 2 weeks, what would they be doing with it? On a little bit of a more intense note, I think one of the things that coronavirus has brought to the forefront of the world is that humans, there's a frailty to life. We're not invincible. We've gotten to this point in the world where with the advancement of technology and medicine and science and air conditioning and electricity, we feel like, you know, we can conquer literally everything. And we really have to a certain point. And humanity and science and technology has really taken us to an incredible precipice that's never we've never come close to in the history of mankind. But at the end of the day, it can all change in the blink of an eye. Not more than a month ago, things were going on as normal. And then all of a sudden, in literally a 24-hour period, just like that, a contagious virus spread across the entire world. It was something we never knew about before. And just like that, in a matter of a month, close to 1 million people are in quarantine in their homes, where thousands more are mourning for people that have died. That is incredibly, incredibly emotional. It's something that, you know, it tugs at a certain point where we feel, you know, koach, right? Kochi betzim yadi, there's a certain invincibility. And we have to recognize, say, no, I'm really not. The Rabbonu Shalom could send something new that there's no vaccine for, that we've never ever experienced. And that can shake my entire life. Not only my life, but my entire community. That you have communities where the shuls are shut. The mikvot are shut. The schools are shut. The batei medrash are shut. Okay, so there's a Zoom shiur, you go into YU Torah, there's some stuff going on, but you can't interact with other people. The entire world has shaken to the point where we have to stop and say, Hashem hu Elohim, there's nothing for me to do. I am nothing. I am a little tiny peg. I am a frail person who one day I will die. That is a fact. And Hashem's God. Hashem's going to decide what's going to be. Who's going to be quarantined? Who's going to get the virus or not? There's a certain part of life where I have to take a step back and say, you know, I really am nothing. I know nothing, and Hashem is really the one running the world and pulling the strings. And this has to give us strength to our emunah, because We've gotten to the point where modern medicine, where people honestly thought they were invincible with biologics and with DNA manipulation and all these advancements in technology, that we've gotten to the point where people thought we were able to literally erase genomes out of the human DNA in order to make them invincible to certain diseases. This is technology that's being done in laboratories all over the world. That there's biologics to counteract the human autoimmune system in order to then make them impervious to their own autoimmune system diseases. Okay? There are certain things that have shifted, that have changed in the entire world, and then all of a sudden, there's this unknown disease that comes forth and really shifts the entire playing field of the world. And we just have to stop and say, Hashem Elohim. There's moments where you have to just say, there's nothing I can do. Something I've mentioned numerous times, I think, to different guys in the room. I can't even see who's here, so maybe not. Is that we have to take a moment and recognize that the entire world is interconnected in such a way that it's mind-boggling. If this happened 300-400 years ago, so the mortality rate would be tenfold. That's a fact. But the chances of it ever leaving China are so slim. It would have taken 4 months by boat to get from China to America, and anyone that had it by then would be dead and thrown overseas. There's a moment where I have to say, what a schus it is to live in a world where we're able to travel and connect from one to another and to have relationships. The fact that I could order something on Amazon that's in, you know, half a world away and it'll be at my house within you know, a few days. The fact that within 24 hours I could go online and order a plane ticket, and maybe not now, but in general, you can go online and order a plane ticket and fly to anywhere in the world within 24 hours is unfathomable in the eye of history. It's something that, on one hand, you have to recognize that, yes, with every gift comes a great danger. And yes, all of a sudden, we have, you know, contagious diseases spreading across the world like rapid fire. But at the end of the day, it's a real opportunity and blessing that we sometimes forget about, we take for granted. There are so many things that we've taken for granted that I think coronavirus has made each and every person take a step back and say, hey, that's not so pasha. Health is not so pasha. Social relationships, being able to interact with other people is not so pasha. Tefillah with a minion, not so pasha. Maybe there's cases where I really shouldn't daven with a minion. And there's moments like this where we have to say, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to the entire world, that we have this chus of having an interconnected world, that we have the opportunity to, you know, get great products from every country in the world, and everyone is able to give their unique part to a global society, but that comes with challenges, and that's something I think we need to be aware of and be able to have a karas hatov for. As it's something that really each and every one of us really grew up with, and I can say for myself, really took for advantage, and this is something that kind of is a little bit of a hesorus for myself and for, I think, a lot of people as well. That some of the things we take for granted are not so pashat. The next one, I think, you know, I say this in a little bit of a serious way, but I think it's definitely overlooked, I think, in yeshiva at least, is that hygiene matters. It's something that we really, you know, sometimes do take for granted, but brushing your teeth, washing your hands, showering, it's a game changer. Washing your hands that extra time, using a drop of soap, it really makes a difference. And sometimes, you know, you don't see the dirt. You don't see the germs on your hands. And there's things that, you know, sometimes we don't even believe, right? It's davar shein bo mamish. It's, you know, it's less than it's eino nikar ba'ayin. Maybe it doesn't even exist according to halacha. But reality is that things exist and they're mazik and they hurt other people. And so whether or not you're chayiv, if you give someone a germ or not, because it's a davar shein bo mamish and you can't see it, how that applies to different forms of nezek for all those learning bavakama, you can feel free to discuss that as much as you want. But at the end of the day, it can cause real lasting impacts for other people, and it matters. You know, brushing your teeth. They say, blanking out of that, it's definitely brought down in Rav Teller's book, I believe called Sunset, I believe off the top of my head, by, in the name of Rav Nissim Alpert, there's Talmud Mufak of Rav Moshe, and I believe Rosh Yeshiva YU for a certain point, that he was very makbid on guys in yeshiva, that once they came out with the science of how impactful it was to brush your teeth, that he went around the dorms and told everyone, you need to brush your teeth twice a day. It's sakanas nefashos. My grandfather, Alav Shalom, he used to always complain in his later years when he was really having trouble eating. I remember he told me numerous times, he's like, my biggest regret from my childhood is that I didn't take care of my teeth. And this is coming from someone, my great-grandfather, Olav Shalom, was a dentist. As in, he grew up in the house of a dentist and then said, like, we didn't know anything about dental care. There are certain things that we, you know, today we're zocha to understand and to, you know, not only should we understand, but we should really take advantage of. The last one I say a little bit as a, I wrote it as a little bit of a joke, but then I debated saying it, and then the more I thought about it, the more it really struck me. I wrote it this morning, and you know, when I was jotting down a few different notes, and I wrote, every Litvak needs some hispodidus once in a while. There's a moment where, you know, even the most intensive people, the you know, strongest Litvak was like, no, everything's going to be this way and that way, and everything has its place. There's a moment where, you know, Rabbi Nachman's like, yeah, but go to the forest by yourself a little bit, sit for an hour, talk to yourself, talk to the Rabbi Shalom, and you'll see how it feels. And even when, you know, everyone's hit with quarantine, there's plenty of Rebbeim who are in quarantine, plenty of, you know, non-Jews in quarantine, everyone's in quarantine, and I think one of the strongest points when we discussed before what your priorities in quarantine are is, you know, unfortunately, sometimes with bad things, we're given opportunities. And I think one of the opportunities that quarantine has afforded people is a chance to tune into themselves. Very often, we get caught up in the rote, mundane, day-to-day life. Shacharitz at this time, and morning seder at this time, and breakfast, and I have this chavrusa and that chavrusa, and every day things are pretty much the same, especially in yeshiva, where we have a very rigid schedule, and there's not so many outside things that come and shake our world. And I think one of the things that quarantine and coronavirus has really, really given people the opportunity is to sit down with themselves in an honest and true, real manner and say, hey, what's going on? What am I doing? What does my day look like? What does my life look like? Am I happy with where I'm headed? Am I happy with who I am? What do I need to shift? What do I need to change? Well, maybe, you know, this is a half hour that's not so great. Maybe, you know, I'm not spending as much time with my family because I'm too much time at work. Or maybe I'm learning too much machshava and I need to learn some more halacha. Is everyone in their own challenges? But one of the things that quarantine has afforded many people the opportunity is a little bit of time to say, hey, who am I? And who do I want to be? What's going on with my life? And what can I do to better it? Right? It's supposed to do this in like a Rabbi Nachman sense of, how's my relationship with Hashem? Let me just take a step back right now and say, God, let me just talk to you. Right? You're davening sometimes by yourself. And because you're not really able to go to Minyan because you're in quarantine. You're able to sometimes have a real MSDIC tefillah. I was talking about this a few weeks ago with someone. Some of my favorite tefillah in my life were when I was in the army and I had 4 hours to, you know, to do guard duty, and I would just sit there and daven. You know, Friday night, I was in a guard post by myself, 15 meters in the air, a piece of thin metal, and it was snowing outside, and it was mamish freezing. And I had a Kabbalah Shabbos that I've never had in my life, as I was just singing Kabbalah Shabbos for 4 hours in the snow, freezing my tothos off, and it was gevaldik though. It was an opportunity to connect in ways that I don't generally have to. When do you have four, you know, halavai, we had 4 hours to daven every day. And we do, but we don't, you know, we generally don't. And there's a moment sometimes where you say things change, there's external factors that kick into our lives, and we have to say, hey, you know what? Let me take advantage of this. There's a moment where quarantine gives us the opportunity to say, hey, let me connect in a way that I couldn't connect previously. Let me recognize what's going on and say, you know what? This is an opportunity. Yeah, it's annoying. It's a bummer that I'm stuck at home. But at the end of the day, it's an opportunity for me to tune in and say, hey, where am I and what am I? Where am I going? Me'ayin bata ulana toleh. Where do you come from and how are you going to continue going? Who do you want to be? And I think these are just, you know, a few of, I'm sure everyone has different thoughts and many other things, and I'm sure if I had spent more time, I could have come down with another 15, 20 different things that I learned from coronavirus. But I think these are just a few where we really have to just tune in and ask ourselves the question, who are we? Where are we going? What does this mean to me? We stop, just like the person who sees the sota and say, hey, something is changing in the world. There's a riptide in the stratosphere, and how does that affect me? What's going on? There are changes. The entire world, there are entire countries on lockdown. Airports are shutting. The economy is crashing because no one knows what's going on. Companies are literally going head over heels. There's some companies that are making incredible profit off of this. But at the end of the day, things are changing that have not happened before. And we have to ask ourselves the question, how does this affect me? When I see something happening in the world, I have to say, what's going on? What is the Kadosh Baruch Hu, what messages is he conveying to me? What am I supposed to learn from this? And how can I make the most of it? Ask yourselves the question. How aware am I of it? How much of the statistics and the science do I know? Because I need to be aware of it in order to daven. To say, how can I daven? What should I daven for? To recognize that the things I do affect other people. Even though I might be safe, I might be able to carry it over to someone who it might be pikuach nefesh. I have no idea if that guy suffers from asthma or serious respiratory issues or has, you know, an autoimmune disease. I have no idea. And these are things that other people might be struggling with that we never knew. And you might not even know the person as you walk past them on the bus or in the supermarket. But you could change their life forever, for better or for worse. If you're just walking by with a smile and you say good morning to a stranger, or you carry by a deadly virus that could kill them. There's a strong, you know, contrast, as Rav Yaakovson said, and that's an opportunity for us to really recognize that. And to strengthen ourselves, to realize that we have the ability to affect and to change other people for better or for worse. There's a koach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each and every person in this room to touch other people's hearts, to touch other people's lives. Sometimes you know it, sometimes you don't know it. But at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the MS. And whether or not you change the person's life for the better or for the worse, whether or not you daven, then your parak of Tehillim pushed the schuyos over. That all of a sudden, you know, b'schu, your one parak of Tehillim that pushed the schus over the chovos of the on the scales of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that brought this machala upon us. And that changed the world. We never know. But we have to ask ourselves the questions, what can I learn from it? And what can I do to change it? And Be'ezrat Hashem, we should only know, b'saros tovos, that, you know, this should be, you know, part of, you know, the shifting tapestries of the world, b'ikvita d'mashiach, as the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes and really tries to save us, whether there's electricity or not, b'imos Mashiach, we'll see. But at the end of the day, we should try and everyone take their moment and daven and to learn from that which is going on around them for the best.